We welcome to the Gospel Spotlight, Bill Moss Jr. Bill, how are you?
Hey, AJ, I'm great. How are you, man?
Hey, I am doing great myself. Off the top, gotta ask you, is there a lot of pressure on you, your dad, Bill Moss Sr., the Celestials, your brother, Jay Moss, your aunt, Maddie Moss Clark, the Clark sisters? Wow. What kind of pressure is there on a Bill Moss Jr.?
Oh, well, you know, it's not, I mean, it's not a lot of pressure. I mean, if you have that pressure, it was more pressure when we were young. But now you just have learned to live with it, and you kind of accept the role because everybody has a place. Everybody kind of has a little slot to fit themselves in, and you just go with it. But growing up, the pressure was high because it was a big shoes to fill with our cousins being very successful, my Aunt Maddie Moss having become popular, my father and my mom also had already stepped into the highlight of their season. And so, yeah, I mean, back when we were young, we knew there were big shoes to fill. And, you know, as a youngster, you're always looking up to those family members who have already achieved that success. And you're like, wow, one day hopefully we can just do a portion of that. But yeah, there was pressure younger, but nowadays it's an assignment.
Hey, for those who don't know about Bill Moss Jr., tell us about some of the folks you work with and some of the albums you worked on, hot albums that a lot of people may not even know.
Well, of course, I'd like to start with, all of my brother Jay Moss's stuff. I did, I had a season where I worked behind the scenes because he and I started together as the Moss Brothers. Then he branched off and he became really, really popular because he was a great producer, is a great producer, and then he launched a solo record. So I did a lot of keyboard work for him, mainly organ with emphasis. That's one of my stronger instruments. And like We Must Praise, and There's a Praise on the Inside. Those were two of our biggest hits, and just a variety of songs that he's recorded off of his Jay Moss projects. Another highlight that's a big highlight that people don't know we did was the Byron Cage Invitation to Worship project. The big song on there, I Will Bless the Lord, Broken But I'm Healed. Those songs were, you know, a huge, huge hit for Byron Cage. And I was the music director of that whole project. My brother's team, Pajam, produced it. So, yeah, you know, that's the experience that we have in the industry and some of the success that we've also had.
Manifest Favor, live from Detroit. What is that all about?
I recorded that project in 2007, and it was my breakout project. God had said, you know, it's time to pull you from the behind the scenes. We're going to bring you on out to this front stage. And I, you know, I went on and accepted the calling to do it, you know. And I think God kind of knows that I am not the one to chase this, you know, the next stellar award, the next hit record. I'm more just whatever door you open is where I'll walk through because that's where I know you need me. So the Manifested Favor was that. And I had gone through a tough period in my life and wrote some great songs. Some great songs were birthed out of that. The Struggle, You Deal With Me, and then there was a good worship song. The Great Great I Am was just all of those songs that we did on that record had a meaningful I think it was a meaningful connection to where I was at that time in my life. So I wrote, you know, struggle songs. I wrote songs that were wretched songs that God brought me through, you know.
Where are you today? Where is Bill Moss Jr. today? What are you doing today?
Today, we're on our second project, obviously. I'm doing this one with my church, Third New Hope Baptist Church in Detroit. And we are a growing ministry. We've been around for a long time, but God has given us another season of growth. Where Pastor E.L. Branch has been doing it a long time. And he's just a wonderful man who I teamed up with a few years ago, and it's been wonderful. And so that's what we're doing. We're doing the second Bill Moss project with Third New Hope. And this project is, of course, I'm in a different place. And the worship that we do is so, you know, amazing. And I'm not saying it because I think so. I'm just because of what people have said. After every worship service, we get somebody to say how much the music has blessed them. How can we find this music? Well, I've done a lot of arranging, and I've done a lot of new music that I've written for our culture. And so they needed to find out how they could get it. And so we decided to put it where they could get it, and we recorded it. We put it together, and we did record it on December 20th, 2016, and it was a tremendous blessing. We were able to capture the anointing and the electricity that was in the air. That's generally what you would find on any typical Sunday at our church.
When you set up for a live recording, what are some of the logistics? What are some of the things that you have to look out for?
Well, live recording should involve the audience, because that's why you're doing a live recording, because you want to capture what's in the house, what's happening at the moment, the electricity, the anointing, because it's gospel. You want the anointing to be ever so present. And I mean, when I tell you, you have to pay attention to that. You have to make sure you have your audience engaged. You have to make sure your band. And for me, being able to record a live project means we're going to go straight through as much as possible. A lot of times I see live recording start, stop, start, stop, because somebody made a mistake. So preparation is the key. Preparation, preparation, preparation. Making sure singers know, making sure musicians are dead on, and making sure you come in with a flow that is designed to go from the beginning to the end so you can capture. Because when you miss it, you might not be able to, because you can't really duplicate the anointing. So if you miss it because of somebody missing a cue, because somebody wasn't prepared, then you start losing that steam.
Right. The song I'm Changed, let's talk about that. Tell us about that, would you?
That's a song that we did about 3 or 4 years ago. A pastor out of Florida wrote it, and I heard it. And I called and asked if I could do this song. And they allowed me to do it. I put a few touches on it. But I'm Changed Because of You is a song that brings you to a transparent place. There's a dead man in the grave beneath my name. It reminds me of the day my life was changed. And now it is not I, but it is Christ living in me. And those words just took our audience. It was captivating. And I thought, you know, it was a new kind of a song, different sound, had a CCM vibe to it. And I mean, it just went through our congregation, and folks were loving it and singing it. And I saw it as a song that when you admit to change the real way in the true sense of a word, that's a change that has taken place from the inside out. That's a decision that you have made. That's a key decision for your life and for your future. So that's what that song does.
Our guest, Bill Moss Jr., how do you like doing the song Love Lifted Me, featuring Pastor E.L. Branch?
Man, that song is just another testament of, you know, who God is and how powerful he is and how true he has been to our lives, our success, everything that we have. Love lifted me. God is love. When nothing else could help, God, love, lifted me. And Pastor Branch joins in at the end for a great reprise of it. Once we close it, we kind of come to a close with it, and then we break it down and bring Pastor up. Because that's what we do on a typical Sunday. He'll come in right before he preaches, and he'll reprise. And he grabs that song and just takes it to a place with his rich, you know, preacher-style voice that he has. And it just takes us to another place. It kind of mixes the old in with the new and makes it very clear that we can mix it in and still have a great time in God.
Bill, who are you trying to reach with this project?
The worshipers. The worshipers are my ultimate goal. The people who come to church, who come to the worship service to get a worship experience, to leave with an uplifting, to leave with a higher self-esteem about who they are in God. The gospel people who love great gospel music, and we have some great talent out there, they come for a different purpose sometimes. But the worshipers, they are intentional about making sure they get in a space with God, and that they can have a takeaway. And the takeaway has to be a song that the team did, the choir, the praise team did, if it's a collaborative effort by the two groups, that I can take home with me in my spirit that will help me get through the rest of this week.
Our guest, Bill Moss Jr. Bill, where is gospel music going today? Is it praise and worship? Is it contemporary? Is it choirs? Seems like we got. Seems like it's all over the place. I don't know. You are an artist, a musician, a producer. Tell me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that question because I see a lack of discipline when it comes to gospel writing. My only concern is that it changes with seems like every wind that passes, and it goes to a different place. Now, gospel music is a freedom genre where you can freely express yourself, which, you know, and it's a good thing to be able to do that, but then on the flip side of it, it lacks discipline. And I think the true essence of gospel, from what we used to have back in the James Cleveland, Thomas Dorsey days, we've lost that as a genre because of the lack of musicians or musicianship. Let me say it like that, not the musicians, but the lack of musicianship. When you are writing to protect a certain style, like classical musicians, like jazz artists, they're true to the form. They're true to keeping the music true to its form. And it's nothing like a good gospel song that has the presence of an organ, piano, maybe a drum and some clapping, and you know, and it's not overpowering, but you can feel the presence and the spirit of what the people are singing and trying to convey. So I think gospel is moving around like that too much. And I think praise and worship, God is looking for the artists, the people who will come with a true heart that are sincere about bringing people into the presence of God and not so much about the fame that's attached to it or about how much money I can make off of this next project. My goal, and this is me personally, whatever door you open is where you need me because it's ministry. And we can't take the name of Jesus and make it a market thing and commercialize it too much. We have to be careful of that.
What a powerful statement. What a very, very powerful statement. How about touring? Do you tour or do you like touring?
I like touring. I like being at home at my home church where we have over 3,000 members, and that's just because God has been good. And but sometimes, you know, the services aren't always packed, and that doesn't change how I worship. The services aren't always what we want them to be, but my desire is to impact somebody's life. So whether I'm singing before 5,000 or 50, I'm going to give it my all, and you won't ever tell. You won't ever tell. There's no respected person. So I would like to do more touring because people like you, there are more people like you who really want to see something special.
Definitely.
And want to and want to have an experience when you go to hear an artist that is a gospel artist that has been gifted and anointed by God. So I would like to get out there a little bit more for the purpose of showing other musicians and also for the purpose of people who want a worship experience and a few takeaways when they leave.
Our guest, Bill Moss Jr. Bill, where can we find you? Where can we connect on social media? Are you Facebook? Do you Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah, my artist page is on Facebook. My regular page is on Facebook as Bill Moss Jr. I'm on Instagram at 4BMJ, on Twitter at @BillMoss_ and Bill Moss Jr. _. And also my website, BillMossMusic.com. BillMossMusic.com.
How has, as we wrap things up, how has social media changed the business, changed the game?
It's been a benefit for some because otherwise artists who are more on the independent scale would never get a chance. So because of YouTube and because of social media, Facebook and Instagram, you can put yourself out there if you're willing to dig in and you know, put your time in building up your base, your supporters and followers, and, you know, having a good representation of what you do when you put something out there. It helps a lot, and it gives you an opportunity, whereas, you know, in the industry, they don't have room for everybody. So they have a certain amount of artists that they kind of put in that pool and that's it. So we thank God for the social media, because people who have these gifts, there's wonderful gifts everywhere, and you'll find your audience. And you have to just be content, because everybody's not going to be Kirk Franklin. Everybody's not going to be Yolanda Adams, but you can find your audience. God will give you that. You know, I love to say, when you take on somebody else's vision, God gives you your vision. And where there is vision, God gives provision.
Definitely. Our guest, Bill Moss Jr. Bill, it's been a pleasure. We thank you for joining us, and may God continue to bless your music, your ministry, and everything you touch.
Thank you, HJ, and I appreciate you giving me this space, and we're looking forward to many more times and some work with you in the very near future.
Sounds great. Inside of the Gospel Spotlight, Bill Moss Jr.